Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company again on this Monday evening. We've only got a few more Mondays together because from the 6th of January, I'm moving to Wednesday. Yeah, so make it a date, Wednesday at just after 6 p.m. I'll be with you for live on air, not on Monday. So there we go. Anyway, it is nice to have your company. Thanks to Dave. Dave looked after us for the last 2 hours. He's heading off on the A7 right now, so safe journey. And I'm sure it's not at all as busy as it normally would when I would be traversing it. Yes, or doing battle on it when I do fill in for Dave on occasion. Anyway, what do we do? Anyway, was it a nice week? Good. Glad you enjoyed it. We had our first week of level 3 lockdown here. It started on Tuesday with shops opening, hairdressers opened, gyms opened, golf clubs opened, all that kind of stuff. And then on Friday, we had restaurants, and you could go and have a pint in a restaurant that serves drink as long as you have a meal. And so that started on Wednesday. So it was really nice. Sorry, on Friday. And it was really nice. I was actually out Friday night myself with a few people, and it was all safe and sound, and it was most enjoyable. And then we headed back to the west coast of Ireland, and we spent a night there, played a bit of golf and spent a night there, and came back yesterday. It was absolutely lovely. So I do hope you had an equally good weekend. Many people, of course, doing their Christmas shopping as well, those that haven't been doing it online. And I've kind of a start made on mine. I don't have a whole lot to buy for, which is great, but I have a start made, and I suppose I'll get stuck into it over the next week or thereabouts. Anyway, coming up on the programme, if you were listening a little earlier on, myself and Dave were talking, and I'll be talking to Patricia Traynor. Well, she'll be talking to us because she's got a lovely story about baking a cake, a rather topical one for this time of the year. A lady called Claire Tuffy joins me to talk to me about the winter solstice and the phenomenon that occurs in Newgrange on the 21st of December each year, and has done so for over 5,000 years. But it was only rediscovered 53 years ago, 1967. All of that will be discussed. And there are people that travel from across the world to be in Newgrange in County Meath on the 21st of December at sunrise. It's a lottery system. Again, it'll be all explained when I talk to Claire. But this year, because of COVID, obviously, we cannot have people in Newgrange. So we can all get involved. People listening in Spain or Ireland or the UK or anywhere else you happen to be listening, like the US. And I know we have a lot of listeners in Australia and places like that. So you can be part of the whole winter solstice in Newgrange in County Meath this year. Lots of good Irish music as well. Some of those will be drawn from people celebrating birthdays this week. And we'll also be playing the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1988. I'm going to be with you on Christmas Day as well, between 6 and 7. And I'm looking for ideas. I was working on a few bits and pieces that I could do, but I thought it would be nice. You see, if people are going to be listening to the radio at 6 o'clock on a Christmas evening, they're not watching the television, obviously, or they're not surfing the net, or maybe they're not even in huge company, so they might be on their own. So I thought, if you are one of those people that would be likely to be listening to the radio between 6 and 7 on Christmas evening and keeping me company while I'm keeping you company, what would you like to hear? What would you like me to do? Stop talking. All right. Okay. Apart from that, would you like to hear something specific? Let me know, please. Ger, G-E-R at tre.radio. That's my email address, and you can get through to me on that 24/7. Ger at tre.radio. Okie dokie. Speaking of that, I'll give you the WhatsApp number shortly, and you can tell me if you would like to get involved on the programme today as well. All right. Famous Irish birthdays. They're over here on this screen. I have about 14 different screens in front of me. So let's have a look and see what we have. Today, the 7th of, what month is it? December. Damien Rice, the singer, was born in Selbridge in County Kildare on this day in 1973. A fella called Austin Stack, if you listen to GAA live broadcasts or scorelines or match fixtures from Ireland, you might hear Austin Stack Park in Tralee being mentioned. Well, the man who that park was named after, he was a politician and a revolutionary born in Tralee in 1879. Mike Nolan, the singer, or one of the singers from Bucks Fizz, won the Eurovision back in 1981. He was born in Dublin in 1954. Columba, or St. Columbus, or no, it's Columkill, wasn't it? Yeah, St. Columkill. We would have heard Patricia talk about Columkill quite often on the programme. Well, he was a missionary monk. He was born in County Donegal in the year 521. And a good old pal of mine, and somebody I must interview at length for the programme, a fellow called Charlie McGettigan, singer-songwriter born in Ballyshannon in 1951 on this very day. T.K. Whittaker, the economist, was born on the 8th, which is tomorrow, so let's have a look at the 8th. He was born in 1916. James Galway, the flautist, was born in Belfast in 1939. John Bonville, the novelist, born in Wexford in 1945. Sinead O'Connor, the singer, born in Dublin in 1966. And James Hoban, the architect, was born in County Kilkenny. He's notorious because he is the man that designed the White House in Washington, D.C. That's right. Where they're going to have two families living by the looks of it in January of next year. Anyway, he was born in Kilkenny in 1831. Wednesday is the 9th. Willoughby Hamilton. There's a typical Irish name for you. A tennis player. Wimbledon men's single champion in 1890. He was born in Monasterevin in 1846. Next Thursday is the 10th of December. Fionnuala Flanagan, the actor, was born. She was a theatre and film and TV actor. Born in Dublin in 1941 on that day. Kenneth Branagh, the actor and director, born in Belfast in 1960, and a man that we lost over a year and a half ago, a man by the name of Micheál Asuláin, wonderful musician and composer, born in County Tipperary in 1950. Next Friday is the 11th of December. Erskine Childers, the fourth president of Ireland, was born in 1905. He served in the Áras an Uachtaráin from 1973 until 1974 and died while in office. He was taken ill and died suddenly. Saturday is the 12th of December. Pat Short, comedian, actor and screenwriter, born in Thurles in County Tipperary in 1966. And he made his name by teaming up with a fellow called John Kenny, a comedian born in hospital in County Limerick in 1957. And it turns out that both John and Pat share a birthday. Different years, obviously, but they share a birthday. So you remember them as Dunbelievables. Gerald Griffin, novelist, born in Limerick in 1803. Patrick Carney, songwriter, and he was a kind of a revolutionary as well, born in Dublin in 1883. The Irish National Anthem, Aron na Bhfian, the national anthem, as I said, it's actually called the Soldier's Song. It was written by Padraig Carney, and later the music was written and all that. So that's who Padraig Carney is. Christy Ring, one of the best hurlers ever in Ireland. He was born in Cloyne in County Cork in 1920. And Daniel O'Donnell, singer and broadcaster, born in Donegal in 1960. So there you have it. Alrighty. Did I say Christy Ring was born in 1960? It was 1920 he was born, and Daniel was born in 1960. On to the weekend we go. Saturday. We were at the weekend. That was Saturday. And Sunday next is the 13th. Peter Stringer, the rugby international, born in Cork in 1977. Dermot Kennedy, we featured him on the programme last week. Singer-songwriter, born in Dublin in 1991. Noel Fitzpatrick, you'll know from the TV Vet. He's the super vet. Born in Ballyfin in 1967. And finally, Cora Staunton, a Gaelic footballer and Aussie rules footballer as well. Quite inspirational. And a lot of young ladies and indeed sportsmen look up to her. And she was born on that day, 13th of December, back in 1981. That's it. That's all our famous Irish birthdays for today and for this week or this coming week. One of those celebrating his birthday today, the wonderful Charlie McGettigan. And here he is. It's a beautiful song, but it's a sad song. Even though it's upbeat, his son went off as a late teenager, early 20s, off to Boston and was working on the buildings during a summer a visa, I think it was. And unfortunately, an accident on the site resulted in Charlie's son losing his life. And a little time after the death, obviously, and Charlie had somewhat recovered. How do you recover from something like that? He wrote this song. It's called I'd Get Excited. Here's Charlie McGettigan.
You'll hear your key as it opened the door. I loved those Friday nights. And you'd laugh at your mother, and she'd say how much more dirty stuff is in your bed. And I remember the way You'd gobble your food, tell us how college was. And your sisters complained, how can he be so rude? You'd say, what's all the fuss? I'd get excited just to look in your eyes. I'd feel a flutter inside. I'd get excited just to see you walk by. I couldn't hide my pride. You'd play the piano before a big game with those big broken hands. You'd play Moonlight Sonata. It was always the same. And in the other room we'd dance. I'd get excited just to look in your eyes. I'd feel a flutter inside. I'd get excited just to see you walk by. I couldn't hide my pride. And there were times I'd have to cover my face with the reckless things that you would do. You couldn't play the game in any other way. Winning meant that much to you. And yet in winning, you were quiet and mild. You couldn't face the light. And all around you, going crazy and wild, you'd keep it all inside. Sadness, I also feel joy. Memories we have. When I think of you now, as a man, as a boy, they're only thoughts of love. I'd get excited just to look in your eyes. I'd feel a flutter inside. I'd get excited just to see you walk by. I couldn't hide my pride. I'd get excited just to look in your eyes. I'd feel a flutter inside. I'd get excited just to see you walk by. I couldn't hide my pride. I'd get excited just to look in your eyes. I'd feel a flutter inside.
When you listen to the song and you know the story behind it, it kind of all makes sense, doesn't it? Really nice song. Sad one, I suppose, if you look at it in that sense. Charlie McGettigan, he celebrates his birthday today. We wish him a very happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, Charlie. Born on this day back in 1951 in Ballyshannon, wasn't it? Yeah. So happy birthday to him. Now, I want to tell you something. You know, I mention every week Jose Antonio Sierra, who is our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor, and he gets himself involved with quite a lot of things and has managed over the years to create wonderful links between Ireland and Spain. And another one that he is working on and has been for quite a while is in relation to Robert Boyd. And if you've listened to the programme at all over the last number of years, you will know that we've mentioned Robert Boyd and we've spoken to people about him quite a lot. But just to tell you that the Aula Maria Zambrano at the University of Malaga has created the Robert Boyd Prize for research work on cultural and historical relations between Spain and Ireland. The award is an initiative as well as a patronage by José Antonio Sierra, our very same man, a founder and former director of the Spanish Cultural Institute, currently Cervantes of Dublin, Ireland. The back in last year, wasn't it? Yeah, 2019, José Antonio travelled to the Northern Ireland city of Derry, the birthplace of Robert Boyd, in order to foster Derry's cultural relations with Malaga. And he spent a lot of time doing a lot of good work. And just a reminder that on the 11th of December this year, which is next Friday, there will be a tribute to Robert Boyd taking place at the English Cemetery in Malaga. I'll try and get some more information on that and post it on my Twitter account, on my Facebook account, for anybody that might be interested in it. All right, because it's an annual event and I'd be interested as to see how they're going to deal with that, with COVID restrictions and so on and so forth. But anyway, just to give you a mention of the new prize and the scholarship that, or not a scholarship, but a prize fund put up by our very own Jose Antonio Sierra in the name of Robert Boyd. So there you have it. Let's do a quick break. Come back to me just after that. I'll be talking to Claire Tuffy all about the winter solstice.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back, and I did say that we were going to be talking about the shortest day of the year. Now, when I was a young fella, I could never figure out how one day could be shorter or longer than another. But then, sure, huh? Like, if I say it dawned on me, you might get a little chuckle out of it. Anyway, the winter solstice is very close to us, and I wanted to talk about a particular phenomenon that happens on the 21st or 22nd of December, and there's a kind of a way that you and I can get involved with this year without having to move from our seats. Let me talk to Claire Tuffy. Claire, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
Now, let's start at the basics and let's talk about the winter solstice. What is that?
Well, as you rightly said, the winter solstice are the shortest days of the year. Mm. Here in this latitude, sunrise is just before 9 o'clock and sunset is just after 3:30. And 5,000 years ago in the Boyne Valley, the people who lived here, they were extraordinary builders and extraordinary scientists. They built one of their great monuments aligned to sunrise at the winter solstice. And that, of course, is the world-renowned monument of Newgrange. So I work at Newgrange, and we're very much looking forward to this year's winter solstice on December 21st.
Okay, let's find out geographically for those who don't know where Newgrange is in Ireland. Tell us where that is, please, if you would, Claire.
We're situated in the gorgeous, rich Boyne Valley. The monument is located within the World Heritage Site of Brú na Boinne, just between the village of Slane and the town of Drogheda. So along the River Boyne,
lovely,
about an hour's drive north of Dublin.
Okay. And the monument in Newgrange itself, you said it is over 5,000 years old. Do we know why it was built all those years ago?
Well, it's called a passage tomb, and we find the remains of the dead inside. So it was built as a final resting place for important members of their community.
Okay.
But of course, no more than our cathedrals and our churches, it had a far wider role in their society than just being a tomb. There were symbols of wealth, symbols of power, places where people gathered, places where the ancestors were honoured. And they were the largest buildings on the planet.
Really?
Around that time.
Do we know, did they mean to align this with the line of Capricorn so that the sun would shine through it on the winter solstice, or was it just by accident?
Oh no, very deliberate.
Oh.
And they constructed a small opening over the entrance, which is specifically to direct the rays of the rising sun into the burial chamber. It's a very small opening, so it only captures sunrise at the time of the winter solstice and at no other time of the year. Then the passage is over 19 metres long and is very narrow, and it has a bend in it as well.
Really?
So not only that, the floor level rises almost 2 metres from the entrance to the passage to the chamber floor. So not only is it like sun shining in your bedroom window, it is like the focus on a camera. They had the opening, which we call the roof box, the box in the roof. They focus the light by streaming it through a narrow, bended passage. And then they create a 3D effect inside in the chamber because the floor is aslant.
Wow.
And it is absolutely fantastic. And no way was it by accident.
And I presume it was to pay homage to these important people that were buried there?
Probably. It's a very powerful symbol. You cannot miss the symbolism of Newgrange, the idea of light in the darkness.
Right.
When the sun rises on the shortest day, the longest night is over. So we always imagine 5,000 years ago, everybody from the community gathered at Newgrange, or whatever it was called then, to celebrate the new year. And they would have been there with the party packs and the sandwiches and whatever else.
The flask of tea.
5,000 years ago. However, so they were marking the new year, but it was also a symbol of rebirth. It also, some people suggest it not only was it a symbol of rebirth, that it actually, that by shining the light on the remains of the dead inside, it created a rebirth so that they were reborn. The extraordinary thing is, it still works. Like you were saying, is it by accident? Scientists have analysed the light, and they say that as a time-telling device, it has lost 4 minutes in the last 5,000 years.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely, because that was actually something that I was wondering and I was going to ask you about. Has anything like global warming or the fact that, you know, the winters are getting warmer and the summers are getting colder?
No.
Nothing like that affects it?
No. The only thing that changed is at the tilt of the Earth's axis.
Okay.
We now tilt at an angle of 23.5 degrees. And 5,000 years ago, the Earth tilted at 24 degrees. So that half a degree in the tilt means that the beam of light entering the chamber now is 4 minutes later than it did 5,000 years ago.
Wow, incredible. I remember as a young lad, I don't know when I first saw it, but RTE, the television network, would always cover the winter solstice at Newgrange, and you'd see people gathered there. And I've always said, I must go, and I haven't gone yet. Talk to me about the numbers of people that come to enjoy it and how it's regulated. In fact, you have to have a certain number, I'm sure, and that you can't exceed because it only lasts for a number of minutes.
For the last 2000, we've had an annual lottery for places to be inside the chamber.
Right.
Last year, 2019, we had over 30,000 applications from all over the world. Mm. We've had people that I tell you, the day that we contact people to tell them they've won a place to be at Newgrange for Dawn at the winter solstice, we feel we have the best job in the world.
Yeah.
But we've had people who have decided on the strength of one email from Ireland to book a flight from North America or from South America or from anywhere in Europe on the off chance that they'll see sun in Ireland in December.
The good old days.
It's a great act of faith.
Isn't
it? People realise it's special. And to be inside while the sun is shining into the chamber is a privilege.
You've been there many times, I'm sure, when it happens.
I have. It's one of the perks.
Go on. Explain to us what exactly happens.
Sunrise, as I said, is just before 9 o'clock. We invite people to come here to our visitor centre around 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Then we bring them up to the monument. It's a shuttle bus service up to the monument. And there's a few things that you take for granted, you know, when you're a seasoned dawn watcher.
Yes.
Most people think that dawn and getting bright are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you watch for sunrise, it's bright for a long time before the sun clears the horizon.
Mm.
But all the people who have won a place in the lottery, they think that somehow we're missing out on something. So we're always far too early.
Right.
And we're waiting in the dark chamber, waiting, and people just kind of hold the breath. On the mornings that it looks good, you know, that it looks promising, there's kind of a real air of excitement. And then the mornings that you don't know whether it might work or it won't work or will that cloud block the sun, there's a very calm feeling that you're going to go with whatever happens.
Right.
And now, after all my years at Newgrange, those are the mornings I prefer, is the mornings when people are more reflective.
Okay.
Because there's something about waiting in a 5,000-year-old room, knowing that you're waiting for something that was planned so long ago and that it's still going to work.
Mm, incredible. The amount of people who have been disappointed because they weren't drawn out of the lottery will be able to join you this year. Tell us how that's coming about.
Yeah, well, this year is different, as we all know. In September, we talked about it and we said, realistically, people are not going to be able to travel to County Meath for sunrise. So we postponed the lottery so that anybody who had applied this year will go into next year's lottery.
Okay.
That was the first decision we made. Then we kept hoping that maybe, and then no, we can't bring people into the chamber because it's too small a space. So the obvious answer was to webcast it, to broadcast it from the chamber. And it's going to be extraordinary this year because there'll be nobody in the chamber except the cameras set up remotely.
Wow.
when you tune in to see dawn from inside the chamber at Newgrange, nobody will ever have seen it that way before, because there's nobody there. There's always people there.
Yes.
But this year, it'll just be the spirits of the dead and a few old cameras and the sun. Oh. So we're hoping we'll have sunny weather, have a clear sunrise, and that it'll work for us. But we also took the opportunity, because we had an empty chamber, to take advantage of the fact that there was nobody going in and out, mm-hmm. to really study how the sunbeam moves across the floor, because it is so accurate. We felt we were missing something. We think we have underestimated how accurate it is, even me boasting about the 4 minutes.
Right.
Because we have noticed over the years that the sunbeam is in a different position as it gets closer to the actual date of solstice. So we think that by knowing and having an experienced eye, that they were able to tell how many days away from the solstice they were from where the sun shone on the floor.
Okay.
And that it's so accurate that it'll only reach a particular point on the 21st of December.
So you're going to be doing a lot of measuring in the days leading up to it and on the day
itself.
Well,
it's all going to be, we have the cameras set up. We have, a plan of the floor, plan of the chamber, and we're testing it. And
lovely.
People, you can do all this now right into your home. You don't even have to be at Newgrange. So we're really excited about that. And I think it's great because there's so much things this year that people said you can't do. You can't do this, you can't do
that. That's right.
And look at here, this is something we can do. We've never had this opportunity before. We'll grab it.
I was talking a little earlier on about seeing this for the first time as a young lad. And when you see something like this on the television and it's got something to do with Newgrange and we were learning that in school, you assume that everybody's been doing this for donkey's years. But in fact, it was only back in 1967 that it was actually discovered by Michael O'Kelly, who was a well-known professor of archaeology at University College in Cork. So nobody knew this until 19...
Nobody knew about the light.
Yeah,
they knew about
that's Ukraine, what I know that.
They didn't know about the light. Yeah.
That's incredible. And
I was just talking to some of my colleagues here yesterday when we were all getting excited about when he rediscovered the fact that Newgrange was aligned to dawn at the winter solstice. He was kind of nervous about announcing it because at that time in the 1960s, people didn't have a great regard, let's say, about the intelligence of those who lived in the Stone Age.
Okay.
They were thinking, that'd be kind of rough,
Yeah.
They only had stone, they only had bone, they had very simple tools.
Yeah.
So he was kind of reluctant to put it out there until he was absolutely certain that it was a thing. And the funny thing is now, all these years later, when an archaeologist investigates a site, something like Newgrange, a prehistoric tomb or a megalithic monument, the first thing they look for is an alignment. And they're kind of disappointed now if they don't find one.
That wouldn't be
any the full circle.
It wouldn't be any good at all for the Newgrange facility. Sure, it wouldn't to be sharing it.
No,
definitely.
I know, ours is special.
Indeed.
Ours is.
Well, listen, it sounds absolutely fantastic. Tell me, where can we see this on the morning of the 21st of December?
Well, they're trying to broaden the base as much as we can because there's tremendous interest.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So it'll be on all the OPW social media channels, which is Facebook, the website heritageireland.ie,
okay.
The OPW YouTube channel.
Wow.
So keep looking at the Heritage Ireland and our own Facebook pages, and we'll lead you forward. We haven't made a decision yet as to exactly where to click on, but it'll be widely available.
Okay, for those that don't know what OPW is, it's the Office of Public Works.
Oh, sorry,
no,
Jared,
no, that's all right. That's okay. We're all used to talking our own jargon when we're dealing with stuff. I reckon that you're going to have a number of crashes with those sites because I'm sure.
Oh, don't say that. No.
Fingers crossed. It will.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and I'd be very interested to know what the numbers are and what countries have been looking in. And I reckon it's going to just maybe make the lotteries a whole lot bigger in future years. What do you think?
Absolutely. And you know what? Well, somebody was saying, oh, this is going to, if this is a huge success, we're going to, we'll do away with the lottery. But they're not mutually exclusive. We could still have people in and enjoy it on the web as well.
Absolutely. Well, look, I envy you being so close to it and having seen it and experienced it so much. Hopefully I'll do it one day. I look forward to seeing it on the 21st online. And Claire Tuffy, thanks ever so much for taking the time to talk to us today about the winter solstice at New Grange.
Thank you.
You go well, I can always follow. I can feed this real slow. If it's a lot to swallow, if you just wanna be alone, I can wait without waiting. If you want me to let this go, well, I am more than willing. Oh, 'cause I don't wanna change it. I don't wanna change it. I don't wanna change your mind. Strangers are. Oh, and I don't wanna change it. I don't wanna change it. I don't wanna change your mind. I just came across a manger out among the danger, somewhere in a stranger's eye. He's not blind.
That's absolutely lovely, isn't it? It comes from another man celebrating his birthday today, Damien Rice. A song that's called I Don't Want to Change You. Nice one, following on from my chat with Claire Tuffy, and thanks to Claire again. Looking forward to seeing that on the morning of the 21st of December. So sunrise in New Grange, and hopefully next week. Keep an eye on, if you're interested in this now, keep an eye on heritageireland.ie. All right, that's the main website that I think you'll be looking at it on, but you'd also have options, I would imagine, on Facebook. But I will try and gather the information for you for next week and be able to confirm exactly what's going to be happening with that. All right, I'm going to do a quick break right now. What time is it? It's, before I go to the break, it's, 23 minutes away from the top of the hour. We have a little bit of time, which isn't too bad. That's great. I want to tell you about something else that's happening. You may recall, might be over a year now. It might be. It's about a year, maybe just over. In fact, it is just over. Mary Custers McCarthy. I interviewed Mary. I went to see her in Nurcha. And she's been there for many years, and she had written a book. She's big into the old true detective type things, murder mysteries and stuff like that. But she told me at the time and on the interview that she was writing a book because she had worked, and her late husband had worked for the United Nations. And she was writing a book about cooking a three-course meal from every country in the 193 member states of the United Nations. And she's done it. She was hoping to have it done by last Christmas, but she's finally done it for this Christmas. Dining with the World, it's called. Recipes to Unite Nations. I like that. And it offers recipes for a three-course meal, as I said, from the 193 member states of the United Nations in plain English and easy-to-follow instructions. Good. The book is a collection of recipes which have been handed down from generation to generation with some modern day twists in there. And there's a wide variety of dishes to suit every culinary taste and preference. So I have ordered my copy. Yes, I know exactly who I'm giving that to for Christmas. And I just thought I'd mention it to you and wish Mary Custers McCarthy the very best of luck. I'm looking forward to reading it and seeing it and trying out some of the recipes as well. And just to make it easy for you, Julie, thanks to Julie, she's managed to put that up there on the TRE bookshop. So if you go onto our website, tre.radio, you will be able to find the book that has been written by Mary Custers McCarthy, which is called Dining with the World. Enjoy it. And well done again to you, Mary, and continued success with the writing. And I hope this one goes really well. Hi to PJ Curtis as well. He's in Nerka, and he's the man actually that introduced me to Mary. So thanks very much. And hi to PJ. Hopefully you're well. Let's do a quick break. Come back to me after that. I'll be talking to Patricia. Yeah, we have a story from Patricia all about baking a cake.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Nice to have you back. Nice to have your company. And don't forget, if you would like to get involved with the programme at any stage, pass any remarks, nice ones, please. Or if you'd like me to give a mention. Or anyway, look, if you'd just like to contact us in the studio, +34, you can WhatsApp us, +34 645 99 67 95. All right, +34 645 99 67 95. Or you can always email me at ger@tre.radio. Are you familiar with Celtic Airs, or maybe, as you might know, Ares Celtas? Yeah, well, I want to say congratulations to them. They broadcast a host of different Celtic programmes. A lot of Irish stuff obviously would be in there, but you have all sorts of things from anywhere that associates with being a Celt or a Celtic. And they're celebrating 20 years. Wow, that's a long time. And they've produced and broadcast over 1,000 programmes in that time. So I want to say congratulations to Ares Celtas for the wonderful achievement of getting to 20 years. And if you'd like to find out more about them, you can at airesceltas.com, AIRESCELTAS.com, if you're interested in that one. Now, Patricia and I get together regularly and we have a session of storytelling. And I record them and then I broadcast them here for you. And some of them are to do with Irish history. Some of them are to do with a particular time of the year. But this one is to do with Patricia baking a cake. And I thought, coming up to Christmas, it's a very opportune thing to play for you. Here's Patricia.
Hello, Ger. It's nice to be back again. And today I'm going to talk about an experience which I'll never forget. It was the day that I made a cake for Juan's family. The fact is, most people in Spain buy cakes from a confiteria, a patisserie. But Juan told his family that my mother always had done her own baking and that I had followed in her footstep and could make delicious cakes. So they asked me to make a cake for them. I said I couldn't, as they didn't have an oven, at least one that worked. People stored their pots and pans in the ovens in those days and they never used it as an oven. In fact, I don't even think it was operable at all. Anyway, I silently breathed a sigh of relief. Oof, that was it. I couldn't make a cake. But then my future mother-in-law said there was what she called a cocina economica, which literally means an economic kitchen. I couldn't figure out what on earth that would mean. And she said, oh, yeah, yes, she could use that because she used it for to make cakes. She brought it out of the cupboard and I'd never seen anything like it. It was like a kind of a large saucepan with a funnel in the middle and a lid on top. And apparently, you put it on the gas ring to cook your cake. Cook, not to say bake. Juan was anxious for me to make the cake to please his family, so reluctantly I agreed. Everything was against me. There were no scales and no self-raising flour. Butter was very expensive and in short supply. There was nothing else for it. I had to make a cake. I gauged the quantities and made the mixture and poured it into the funnel saucepan and put the lid on it. Then Juan took over and placed it on the gas ring. As far as I was concerned, there was no way of calculating either the time or the temperature. I was convinced it was going to burn, but Juan said, "No, no worry, we'll put it on minimum heat." So that's what we did. We sat down in the kitchen, and after about half an hour, I said we should have a look at it. I lifted the lid and saw the mixture was boiling and looked like porridge. "There's no way this is going to work," I said. But Juan said, "No, all we have to do was to put it on maximum heat and it would soon be ready," which is what he did. After about 10 minutes, we could smell burning and the smoke was rising from the saucepan. We quickly removed it and turned it out onto a rack. It was completely black and smoking. "Right, that's it. Throw it in the bin," I said. But Juan said, "It was only burnt on the outside and all we had to do was to cut off the top and the bottom and the sides." He undertook to do this operation, and just as he was finishing, his mother came in to see what the smell of burning was. He explained to her that we had had to get rid of the outside of the cake, but now it was perfect. She looked at the small remains of the cake and said she would fix it by making soft meringue to cover it, so that no one would know. A really nice gesture when you come to think of it. I mean, from a future mother-in-law. I felt like burying myself when later on that evening, Juan's father said he was looking forward to tasting Patricia's cake. I had pleaded with Juan to get rid of it, but no, he said, it would be fine. So, after dinner, the cake appeared, disguised in its meringue cover. Juan's mother cut a piece of it for her husband. He took a bite of it and then pronounced his verdict. In Spanish, he said, "Es muy distinto de lo nuestro," meaning, "It's very different from ours." I don't know whatever happened to the rest of that cake, but it never appeared again and no one ever asked me to make another one. The moral of the story is never attempt to make a cake in someone else's kitchen. Thank you.
Beautiful, isn't it? It's called El Condor Pasa, which I think is, if I could, the Galway Pops Orchestra, and James Galway was on the flute. He's a flautist, that's why he was on the flute, and he was born on the 8th of December, so tomorrow is his birthday, and he was born in 1939, so we wish him a happy birthday, born in Belfast, so that's why I play that, and thank you to Patricia for her story about baking a cake, and we'll have more from Patricia over the Christmas period as well. Now, I don't know anything about soccer. You've heard me say that before. World Cup 2022, Ireland await opponents. Update. Now, apparently, the final pot six, all Ireland, Ireland will be a five-team group as they are in Group A. Okay, this has just come into me this very second as that song was about to end, so I thought I'd bring it to you in case you were a soccer fan. Group A is Portugal, Serbia, Republic of Ireland, Luxembourg and Azerbaijan. Group B, Spain, Sweden, Greece, Georgia and Kosovo. Group C, Italy, Switzerland, Northern Ireland, Bulgaria and Lithuania. Group D is France, Ukraine. Hey, up. No, I don't need to do that. I'm after losing this now because my phone updated a different story. But anyway, you get the drill. And I wanted to let you know what Ireland had got in that. So I've given you that. If I get any more on that, if I can finish that story between now and the end of the programme before 7 o'clock, I certainly will. But right now, I'm going to press this little button that says go, and I'm going to go for an ad break.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Okay, I haven't got that story back yet, but I'll figure it out in a few minutes. Let's play the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1988, shall we? I always like to bring you a number one from Ireland, and I think down through the years we have demonstrated how the music tastes here in Ireland has shifted, and interesting it is. On this day in 1988, this was number one. Now, okay, I always play just Irish songs. He was born in Argentina. His birthday was recently. We give him a mention. Which he was thrilled about, I'm sure. But we identify Christoberg as being Irish. So this is the Irish number one. From 1988, it's called Missing You.
This is the place we used to go, with romantic music and the lights down low. And as you stand there amazed at the door, and you wonder what all this is for, it's just a simple thing from me to you, the lady that I adore. 'Cause there's something that you should know, it's that I'll never let go. There is no reason to the things that we do. You can break our heart with just a word or two. Take a lifetime to apologize when the one you love's in front of your eyes. And I will fall to my knees like a fool if it's the only way I get through. You see, if I you are beautiful, someone else is gonna feel it too. So there's only one thing to do. Tell you let
going to go Chris de Burgh. He celebrated his birthday recently. As I said, we gave him a mention. A song called Missing You, and that song was at number one in Ireland on this very day back in 1988. The email address, as always, to me and to this program is ger, G-E-R, at tre.radio. Can I say thank you to Felix Quigley, who just sent me an email, and all that's on it is C, and then a web address. And the web address is newgrange.com/stonelight. I don't know what that is, but because every computer that I have on the table, because I'm broadcasting remotely, is connected with the broadcast, so I don't want to go putting a new a YouTube video on. Anyway, Felix, thank you. I will take a look at that after the program. But if anybody else is interested, newgrange.com/stonelight, and we'll see what surprises in store for us on that one. I have to do a quick break. Come back to me just after this for the last couple of moments of the, oh God, look at the time.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back to the final few seconds, literally, of the programme. Again, thank you, Felix, for sending that through to me. We're heading towards the news at 7 o'clock. Before I go, can I say thank you very much to Patricia for her story today on baking a cake. Thank you to Claire Tuffy about talking to us about the winter solstice. Thanks to Jose Antonio Sierra, as always, our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor. We're heading over to the BBC after the news at 7 o'clock, and that will take you through until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Will Boino will be joining Hannah at about 9:20 when she presents Daybreak from 8 o'clock. Then don't forget, you've got Viewpoint from me, Ger Sweeney. Until next week, look after yourselves and thank you for your company today.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.